This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Croup, a common childhood illness, can sound very scary and can even land a child in the emergency room in more severe cases. Here with more on this and what you need to know is Dr. Jennifer Need, pediatric hospitalist at Upstate Golisano's Children's Hospital and assistant professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Need. Thank you for coming in. So what exactly is croup, and why is it very scary for parents?
Sure. Croup is an infection of the upper airway that occurs in children, and it's very scary because children have a cough that sounds like a barky cough, like a dog or a seal, and that can be very scary. And children can also develop respiratory distress where they struggle to breathe, and that can be very scary for families as well.
Yes, so I read somewhere that this idea of the barking cough really comes from the fact that the airways are constricted. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you're blowing air through a smaller space, it creates noise. In this case with the cough, it sounds like a barking cough. And the breathing, even when they inspire, breathe in, it's almost like a whistling sound that's called stridor. Or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. The stridor is very commonly heard in croup, and so it's a high pitched sound that's heard most often during inspiration, and it occurs because the upper airway is narrowed from so much swelling, and so the airflow is more turbulent. It doesn't flow through as easy.
So, what actually causes croup?
The most common cause. Are viruses, and that's the focus of what I'll be talking about today is viral infectious croup. There are other causes, but in children, the most common cause is a virus.
And there are multiple viruses that can cause it?
That's correct. Parainfluenza is the most common virus, but there are many other viruses that can cause croup. Viruses such as respiratory syncytial virus, abbreviated as RSV, rhinovirus, adenovirus, handful of viruses can definitely cause croup.
So a child might be exposed to any number of viruses, as they all are, whether they're in daycare or in school or what have you, and that any of those viruses could end up with symptoms of croup, basically progressing to a situation of croup.
That is correct. The respiratory viruses are the most common cause of croup, and croup is an illness caused by viruses. So some viruses might just cause a cold. Other viruses may just cause a cold, but in addition, affect the upper airway. And when the upper airway is affected a certain way, that's croup. So croup is a broader term for a disease that can be caused by various viruses.
So who gets this? Who's most at risk for this disease?
Younger children are. The common age range is 6 months through 3 years, with a peak around 2 years. However, children up to 6 years can be affected.
And when do we see it occurring? Are there times of the year? Is it seasonal?
It is seasonal. It occurs more commonly in the fall and winter months.
Which makes sense, because that's often when the colds are around.
Right.
But why do some children, for example, or are some children more susceptible to going to the point of croup versus just having the cold symptoms?
Right. With any virus, some children will have a more mild form of the illness, where other children will be affected more and have a more severe presentation, so can have more severe forms. Again, it depends on the virus and the strain of the virus in terms of what disease develops. Some children get a cough from a virus, other children can get a viral pneumonia, and some children can get croup.
So basically, how serious is it, basically? I mean, we've said in the beginning it's very common. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can occur after, you know, just as being exposed to some kind of common everyday virus like RSV or things that are generally seen in children. So how serious, though, is it in most cases?
Right. Again, children may have a more mild, moderate, or severe form. And so I would say in the more moderate and severe forms, then those children may be sicker with respiratory distress and require evaluation by a pediatrician. So in those cases, it can be more serious. As in any virus, a lot of times children just have mild symptoms. Most people know what a croupy cough is. Again, it sounds like a dog or a seal, and that's something that can be managed at home as long as children aren't in respiratory distress.
So the key here is the difference, and we're going to get to that a little bit about exactly what are the criterion that you would use or criteria that you would use if you, in terms of actually contacting your
Correct.
Medical professional. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with pediatrician Dr. Jennifer Need. We're talking about what you need to know about croup. Well, let's get back to exactly what, I mean, you've already told me a little bit about what it looks like, but tell us about the progression of the disease. I mean, for example, what are the initial signs in terms of what you would see as a parent or a caregiver? And then the course of the disease, how does it usually progress?
Sure. So children, again, viruses are the most common cause. So children will often have nonspecific cold symptoms during the first few days of the illness. And so the cold symptoms include cough, runny nose, sore throat, low-grade fever. And then as the virus goes on and causes irritation and swelling of the upper airway, you can think of it as the breathing tube, children will develop a barky cough. So again, it sounds like a dog or a seal. The stridor, which is that high-pitched, often inspiratory sound, as well as respiratory distress. So children may be breathing faster than normal, seem like they're struggling to breathe, or using more muscles, like extra muscles, to breathe. And it's not uncommon for the fever to be higher during the days when the barky cough and the stridor and the difficulty breathing are occurring.
So that can be very scary for parents, I would think.
Yes.
So you mentioned that some of these are more mild and can remain at home. Mm-hmm. Others need to be seen by a professional and possibly even hospitalized on occasion, rare occasion, but even on occasion. So tell us about treatment first, and then I want to talk a little bit about more specifically when you have to contact a physician.
Sure. So again, croup is most often caused by a virus, and so the treatment for a virus is really supportive. So making sure a child gets rest and stays hydrated. And it's also important to realize time is the biggest factor for a virus to resolve. So it does take time for children to get better and for the illness to run its course. So if a child has a croupy cough and some cold symptoms and otherwise seems to be doing okay, not having that stridor sound or respiratory distress, then they can most likely just stay at home, and parents can manage the illness similar to how they would the common cold.
So that's the question. In terms of managing, what are the kinds of things they can do? You're not supposed to give antibiotics because antibiotics are for bacterial infection. And you'd say in most cases, croup is caused in children by a virus.
Correct. So antibiotics.
What can you give?
Antibiotics are not effective. Again, rest, hydration. Historically, people have probably heard about putting a child in a steam environment or a cool mist environment, such as taking the child into the bathroom with the shower running and letting them breathe in the steam, or taking them out into the cool air at night.
Not to interrupt you, but that was a major point that was made to me by my pediatrician many years ago. Mm-hmm. My children are now adults, but during the time I was raising my children, that was a very strong recommendation, to put them in a shower, turn the shower on high, and have the steam there. And that evidence doesn't seem to support that.
Yeah,
though.
The current evidence in the literature does not support that cool mist or that steam therapy. However, there is anecdotal reports that some families find that it is helpful, so some medical providers will still recommend it. I don't routinely recommend it just because the evidence doesn't support it at this time. That being said, if it seems to help a child and it's not harmful, then I'm fine if parents will try those things. I do want to say that sometimes that steam from the shower or just taking a kid out into the cool evening, that can be more upsetting to the child, and they might start crying, and that worsens the respiratory distress, that stridor sound, the difficulty breathing. So in that case, if people notice where it's not helpful and it's actually more harmful because the child's getting upset, I definitely would not continue it.
I think that's a key point. So it's really on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. The steam alone is not harmful, or the cold air is not harmful, but if it distresses the child, that can be harmful.
Right, and keeping in mind that the current evidence doesn't really support it.
So when a child, so when they're having a high fever, though, what else do you recommend? I mean, you said as you would for any common cold.
Right, and so with fever, Tylenol or Motrin. Motrin, for children greater than 6 months, are antipyretics, so fever relief.
And relievers. Never aspirin, is that still the
case?
That's
correct.
And why is that?
So we do not recommend aspirin in the setting, or especially in the setting of a viral illness, because kids can become very sick from it. And we used to see something called Reye's syndrome.
So basically Tylenol or Motrin would be the recommended medication of choice for a high fever if your child was staying at home and just waiting it out and using supportive therapy. But how about those few children that need to go to get some more help? Let's go to this first. So when do you need to see your doctor, and when do you need to perhaps go to the ED?
Sure. So I would take your child in to see the doctor if the symptoms, the barky cough, and the symptoms are going on for greater than a week. Usually after the barky cough starts, there's a peak of symptoms for a couple days, and then the child will start to get better. So if the child does not seem to be getting better according to that timeline, the other time that it's important to seek medical care is if the child's having that stridor sound, that high-pitched inspiratory sound, as well as respiratory distress. So they're breathing harder, they're struggling to breathe, the parents notice they're using muscles that they normally don't use to breathe. And that would indicate respiratory distress, where they should see a medical provider.
And in that case, what's the treatment then?
If a child is in respiratory distress, they will typically get two treatments, a breathing treatment. It's a nebulized treatment called racemic epinephrine, and also a dose of steroids, typically a steroid called dexamethasone. Both medications decrease airway swelling and allow the child to breathe easier. The reason that both are given is that the racemic epinephrine acts very quickly, but it only lasts a couple hours. And the steroids take longer to work, but once the racemic epinephrine wears off, the steroids will be effective in the body, and the steroids last much longer, so last up to 2.5 days.
And
so that's the reason both are given.
And so those are really the treatment of choice, and generally children stay in the hospital just a few days?
That's correct. A child, usually in the emergency setting, a child will get a racemic epinephrine treatment and a dose of steroids, and they'll be watched for several hours to make sure once the racemic epinephrine effect wears off, they breathe comfortably with those steroids effective in the body. Some children will develop respiratory distress again and require a second racemic epinephrine treatment, and those children are typically admitted to the hospital for close monitoring just to make sure they don't continue to receive racemic epinephrine or require racemic epinephrine treatments. It's important to point out that we do not prescribe racemic epinephrine for home. So if a child needs that, they need to be in the hospital setting.
Very good. So basically, though it's common, rarely there are more severe cases, and even more rare, there can be some complications. So if you suspect problems with breathing, contact your health professional.
That's correct.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Jennifer Need, pediatric hospitalist at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital and assistant professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.